This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Oilers in Colorado tonight. Brule will not dress. The team has recalled Alex Giroux, second overall. It was scoring 65 points in 61 games in the AHL with Oklahoma City. He will be in action tonight. The lines go like this. Pajarvi and Eberle between Horkoff and Jones with Gagne and Omark. Cogliano between Reddix and Giroux. And Jock and McIntyre will play with Colin Fraser tonight. Once again, Brule not dressed. Up next, we have Brent Parker, president of the Regina Pats. Brent, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just want to touch base. There's a lot of shared history between the Pats and the Oilers. The first Oiler WHA team boasted Billy Hickey, who's a legend in Regina. The current club has a legend from Regina in Jordan Eberle. These two teams go back a long way.
Well, there is. And I had Lauren Davis, obviously the longtime scout of the Oilers, who left us a couple years ago. And I was from Regina and a fixture at the Brandt Center for many games, and I know Jordan Eberle was one of his favorites. So,
I lived in Regina for years and years. I was there to watch Sillinger and all those guys play, and I just loved the Pats. But when you took over, whatever, 16 years ago and were GM for 15 years and now president, the team was at a low ebb. During your tenure there, there's been a lot of good hockey players go through. Is Jordan Eberle right at the top of that list or near it?
Well, he sure has to be. I mean, I think probably because of the type of person he is, as much as anything. And, I think if you look at last year being a local kid and all of the pressures and demands that were put on him through the community, through appearances and charity events, and I don't know that there was an 18 or 19-year-old kid that could have handled it any better than he did. He's just very much at ease, whether he's talking to a 12-year-old peewee player at their practice or at a business event. And he was just very much at ease and was able to communicate well and represented our organization extremely well in the community and on and off the ice.
Talk a little bit about Colton Tuber now. The Pats during your time have always seemed to turn out some top-quality defensemen, Morris, Brad Stewart, Barrett Jackman. How does Colton Tuber compare to that group?
Well, Colton's he's a throwback type of player. I mean, he's a big, aggressive kid. His motor's on full tilt all the time. He's one of these kids that's a high-energy guy, and him and Jordan were extremely good friends, and it was fun to watch the two of them kind of grow up together. They'd always want to go against each other in practice, and they were pretty much joined at the hip for their whole 4 years they were here, and even 2 years with the World Junior team, and Colton's a tough guy to play against. I saw Steve's comment about that the other day, and boy, he's bang on. He's a guy that drives people crazy on the other team, and he never shuts up when he's on the ice, and physically he can back it up, and he's just a real hard guy to play against.
He's got size, and the initial response that we got was a comparison to Matt Green, but Green is a little thicker. Does he compare well to another former Pat, Jason Smith? Is that the kind of size he is?
Yeah, I think they have the same kind of leaner build. Colton's never going to be a real thick, broad kid. He's got a longer, leaner body to him, and he's got good length in terms of long arms, and he uses his stick very well. And the big thing for him to make the jump to the National Hockey League is just improving that first step. He's a good skater. He just maybe needs to improve his quickness a little bit. But, yeah, I would think Jason Smith would be a real good comparison.
Okay. And I know that during his draft year, I remember seeing you on television the year he was drafted by L.A., that he had had a phenomenal season leading up to his draft. Did he progress during his 18- and 19-year-old seasons in Regina, or was there kind of a tail off there, or did he keep getting better?
Oh, I think he continued to progress. I think, like a lot of times when you have these young guys that have really good years at 16 and 17, the people tend to forget how old they are, and they expect their expectations grow along with these kids, but they do tend to forget that they're 17, 18, 19-year-old kids. They've got a lot of things going on in their lives, and they were stretched, their demands were stretched through the World Juniors and through the Subway Classic games and All-Star games and events in the city, and so I think maybe the expectations at times, maybe fans didn't feel that he was meeting the expectations of what they thought a number one pick would be. Colton, I think, in our opinion anyways, he progressed. And he had some stretches where he made some immature comments or young person mistakes, and that's exactly what they were, young person mistakes, and I think he grew from them. And the one thing about Colton that everyone always will find out there in Edmonton, and that everyone here always knew, is that he wanted to win in the worst way, and not always went about it the right way, but he wanted to win. He's a competitive guy, and like I said earlier, his motor is always on full tilt.
And you want a guy, if you have a choice between being having a guy who's brash and confident and somebody who's a little shy and retiring, for a defenseman with size and bulk and who can, you know, physically hit you, you like to have the confident guy, right?
Well, I'd rather not have to cattle prod somebody, exactly. I'd rather have to pull the reins back on somebody once in a while. And we had, you know what, we had our moments. I mean, Colton and I had some discussions in my office over the years, but they were never in a manner of him wanting to be a problem or a distraction. It was just he wanted to win. And as I said, sometimes these young guys, they don't go about things always the right way, and they, you know, make some comments or make some decisions that they regret afterwards. But that's all part of the learning process. It's all what we're here to do, is to help them grow as players and as people. And certainly, I think Colton did. And I was excited for him when he got traded. I think the LA Kings had such good depth at defense, and I think he's going to get a much much better opportunity in the Oilers organization. And to see him and Jordan back together was kind of comical, because, as I said earlier, they're joined at the hip for 4 years. They just couldn't keep them apart.
Does he have a we had a gentleman on from the Los Angeles Daily News earlier, and he said that he felt he was somewhat limited offensively. He does have some offensive upside, right?
I think he does. He's got a very good shot. You know, I think when he was with us, like a lot of guys in junior, they're those high-end players, they're asked to do some things that maybe they're not going to do at the next level. And, you know, I'll go back and use a player you mentioned earlier in Barrett Jackman. Well, Barrett Jackman played on our power play when he was here as a captain at 17 and played in every situation. And he's not a power play guy in the National Hockey League. He's a shutdown guy, and that's what he is. But they're asked to do some things here at this level because their skill set is just greater than some of the players. So, but I don't think he'll ever be a pure power play guy or quarterback of power play, but he shoots the puck good and passes the puck hard. So I don't think he's somebody that's going to go through his career and score one goal every, you know, 190 games kind of thing. I think he can chip in just for no other reason than he shoots the puck well.
This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio. Alan Mitchell in conversation with Brent Parker, president of the Regina Pats. Switching gears a little bit here, from a distance, Brandon Davidson looks like an exceptional young talent. His backstory is very interesting. He started playing late in his life, right?
He did, we saw him at the Max Major Midget Tournament in Calgary when he was a 17-year-old, and I was watching him at a game at the Centennial Twin Arenas, and I was there to actually to watch one of a Lift kid on the other team, and got chatting with Richie Sutter, and whose son Luke was on that team, and I just asked him why, you know, nobody had this kid on their list or on their radar, and he said he couldn't answer that. He said he felt that he was ready and wanted to. He hadn't played midget triple A the year before, just some financial restraints, you know, he's worked very hard for everything he's got, and he's had a tremendous year for us, and I think he's just going to continue to grow and get better.
And he's a really nice puck mover. He's very talented that way. How is he defensively? Is he improving?
Absolutely, and that's was, you know, something that a lot of young defensemen have to learn, certainly. But he moves the puck well. He skates well. Physically, he's strong. I mean, he needs to get stronger to play at the National Hockey League level, but no, like they all do, they need to learn how to play on their own end a little bit. But I think for us now, I mean, we rely on him to play against everybody's top line, and you know, he's just getting better and better defensively. I think he was one of our only plus players last year, and you know, he's not a plus player this year, but that's more of a team issue than it is Brandon's issue. And yeah, you know, I think he's, as I said, continues to get better and better, and he's such a tremendous young man and well spoken, and I think he's got a bright future.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, he's got another year there of eligibility?
He could come back. He's a 19-year-old this year. He started in our league at 18, so he was a late developing guy, and I don't think it would hurt him at all to play one more year of junior before he moved on, just because of that. But you know, the Oilers are going to do what they think's best for him next year. But certainly we'd welcome him back. But he could be eligible to move on and play in the American League next year. But as I said, I think it wouldn't hurt him at all to play one more year of junior hockey.
Pat's had a nice run this year and then faded a little bit and then obviously did some things at the deadline, but you're looking good for next year.
We've got a lot of guys returning. Chad's done a real good job trying to repair all the mistakes that the last GM made, and he's done a real good job. He's improved our team speed and got some good young pieces, and we had a really good draft, we feel, last year, and some kids coming in that are going to be a big part of our organization going forward. And there's lots of optimism inside our room and inside the organization, and hopefully we'll can put a little stretch down the last six games here and sneak into the playoffs, because I think it would be real good for our kids to get some of that playoff experience. But it's going to be tough to get in now, but I think we've played some meaningful games here down the stretch, and that's going to bode well for us down the road.
One more before we let you go, Brent. Give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch on a kid named Miles Bell.
Miles is a big, strong kid that has an absolute bomb for a shot. He needs to improve his play defensively. He hasn't played defense for very long. He played forward up until his first year at Bantam, so he's still relatively new at the position. But he's a guy that... It's kind of strange. He skates better with the puck than without it. Mm-hmm. I think at times he tends to stand still a little bit when he doesn't have the puck. But I think that's all part of the learning process of playing that position. But shoots the puck real well. Miles is a good kid, good family, and he's the exact opposite of what Colton is in terms of their build. Colton's that long, lean guy, and Miles is thick, broad shoulders and big arms and hands and he's tough as nails. His biggest thing is just got to continue to work on his defensive play.
Brent, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Brent Parker from the Regina Pats, president of the team, and some interesting insight there on all kinds of subjects. The Colton Tubert, obviously Miles Bell, and a little bit of back look as well on some of the history of the Regina Pats and the Edmonton. I'd forgotten that Billy Hickey was on the first. I'm an old-timey guy. I was a Bill Hickey fan and an Ernie Hickey fan, and both of them came out of Regina and are legends in that town. And it was interesting to talk a little bit to him about the bit of the history of the Pats and the Oilers. Some emails here before we take a break. A couple here. This is from Michael, and he says, I like Couturier. Who wouldn't? But if I were making the pick, I would go with a player who has shown more versatility. That would be Landeskog. He can fit in anywhere. He has grit, size, foot speed. And if we make a pick, I hope that we decide to take Landeskog. I don't think the Oilers will be moving that pick. Landeskog is an interesting guy because he is not the offensive force that a Nugent Hopkins or a Couturier is, but he has a nice wide range of skills. And if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you're looking for some toughness up front. He's a guy who might be able to play with the skilled guys, and he's a guy who might, be able to contribute offensively too. So I don't know whether they'll take a chance on him. I still think it's a choice between Larson and Couturier from my point of view, but I don't know a lot about what the Oilers are going to be doing. We have something here from Jared. Good day with our season all but done. Do you think there's a chance the Oil will give a quick call up to our new acquisition, Colton Tubert, for a few game trial? Steve Tambellini said right at the time of the trade that he felt it was a longer item in terms of Colton Tubert coming up and being a part of the team. They recalled Alex Plante this week. Tubert scored a goal in his first game with Oklahoma City Barons, and I guess there's a chance that if there's a lot of injuries, he could get called up, but I get the sense from what the Oilers are saying that he's someone they'd like to have play down there, get a good run in during what is hopefully going to be a long playoff run, and then come to training camp and be a part of the team starting next fall. That's just what I'm getting from reading between the lines. Steve sends in an email saying, Lander just saved his team from relegation with an assist and a game-winning goal in the SEL. Apparently he really shined. Do you think it's time to bring him over to Oklahoma City or to have him spend another year in Timrå? I always think that if they're ready to come over and maybe adapt to the American Hockey League and get a taste of the NHL, it's a good idea. I believe it really helped Timo Hartikainen. He's one of the best rookies in the AHL this year, and he's from Finland. He's had a really good year, and a player that the Edmonton owners are probably going to be counting on in the next couple of years. A solid left wing with size, he can play on the power play, and he's good in the corners. So I guess from my point of view, the answer is yes, bring Lander over. He had a strange year this year. Up until Valentine's Day, he looked pretty good. He was 9 goals, 14 assists, and minus 4 in 42 games in the SEL, which is a tough league. It's a man's league. Since then, he's 6 games, 1 goal, no assists, and minus 10. So I was talking a little bit about line changes and how he was being used, and it's no doubt different, but that was a poor way to end the year. So maybe Anton Lander would like to come over and contribute to the Oklahoma City Barons. That's something to keep in mind over the next little while. Okay, this is Nation Radio on Team 1260. And coming up, we're going to talk about the Dustin Penner trade.